Sue Thomas was working a desk job at the FBI when she was called to the front office.
And there was only two reasons the person went to the front office, either to be terminated from their job or to be interrogated by the FBI agent.
She didn't realize there actually was a third reason. The FBI was about to unleash her special talent. This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Wagelmuth, author of The Wonder of His Name, for November 28, 2017.
Yesterday, we began hearing the story of Sue Thomas. When she was just 18 months old, Sue permanently lost her hearing. Thanks to supportive parents and a good coach, she learned to play the piano and ice skate. But at her public school, they didn't know how to teach a deaf student. Her grades suffered, and she was slapped with labels like dummy. If you missed any of yesterday's program, you'll want to be sure and listen to it at reviveourhearts.com. It includes a beautiful rendition of Silent Night, like none you've ever heard before, sung by our guest, who can't hear any music. And let me also mention, she couldn't hear me asking any questions. She read my lips through this entire interview. Sue Thomas says her academic career began to improve thanks to one woman.
She was my typing teacher. And what I didn't realize that when I entered her class, she had made a silent vow to herself that every student that walked across her threshold, she was going to make them the fastest typist in the history of the typewriter. And just because I was deaf, it didn't matter. And she began to work with me, slave over me. I started out at 12 words a minute, saw 48, 92, 130. I mean, I whizzed all the way through it and finally maxed out at 198 words a minute.
Wait, 198 words a
198
minute?
198 words a minute. It was on an IBM Select record.
I didn't think that was possible.
It was unbelievable. And she knew something as a teacher that every teacher should have known. No dummy can be typing this fast. But she came to me one day and she said, "You have one more year left in school. What do you want to do?" And that was an embarrassing question. And I finally blurted out, "I want to go to college." And I know she had a hard time understanding that because she knew that all the kids were still making my life miserable. And she knew how I hated school. So she just couldn't believe it when she heard me say, "I just want to keep going to schools." So she had asked the question, why? There was a long pause before I answered because I was embarrassed, but I finally said, "Because I just want to be like everybody else." Mm. And she believed in me. She began to work with me one-on-one. And through her life, I went to college. I just didn't realize it would take me 8 years to leave the place once I got there. But 8 long years passed, and I finally had that college degree in my hand because of this one life. So you see, I go back and I share three lives, so very different from each other. The speech therapist, the skating coach, the typing teacher. So very, very different, and yet the common denominator is still the same. They gave it their all. They never wavered. They never gave up. I'm probably the most important of them all. They never saw the final results of their labor.
Wow.
Okay. That TV show is for Mr. Story. Wherever I stand on the platform, they stand with me. It's not just me. It's what God has used in the lives of other people. The life will either make us or break us. Yes, God creates good and evil, all for his glory. And basically say, people, the hardships, okay, the bad thing, God allows that. You betcha. Well, why? Why? That he shuts us in with Jesus. You know, if things are going good, we don't have any need for God. But basically, when it's going gets tough, who do we run to? Oh, God, help me. I've learned this. I've learned that every single second of my life, is ordained by God. Whatever he brings forth is for his glory, is for my good. There is no bad, there is no evil in my life with God. He uses it all. So all those times as a kid that I couldn't understand, I had to search, to think, to ask for knowledge that I might understand. At the age of 67, I understand. I am free. And every single day, I grow more deeply in love with him.
We're going to hear more about your journey, but I want to just stop and say that what you've just shared, I think, will be a great encouragement to some people who are listening today who are parents or teachers, skating coaches, who are investing in the lives of children or young people. Maybe they have a physical disability. Maybe they come from a background where they don't have many privileges. Maybe kids are making fun of them. But there are some people out there who are influencing these children, these teenagers. And I think your story says to them, don't give up. You may not see the fruit or the reward of your investment till a long time down the road. But God is at work in the lives of those that you are influencing. So this will be a great encouragement, I think, to many who are caring for or teaching or leading children who have different kinds of needs. And all children, all people have needs. And so as we invest in them, we are being God's instruments in the lives of those children and young people.
If I never walked these paths, I would never have understood the path of others. I would never be able to encourage them. Okay, basically he has led me, he has shown me, and I made it only because he was with me, that I now can go to anyone. I can weep with them. I can rejoice with them. I can encourage them. I've been there, I've done it. And if I can do it, you can do it. Only with Christ. You're nothing as I'm nothing, but in him you are everything.
What did you study? What was your major in college?
I did political science, economics at the time, and very much in current events as far as that. So even today, I'm really into politics, watching the world unravel the way it's doing. So, and I didn't realize, okay, at that particular time that I would be entering into the field with the federal government. So God was just planning each step before I even knew that I was about to step in that area.
Your life is such a beautiful illustration of the sovereignty of God, his good and wise plan. And I love hearing this. In fact, last night before we came to have this interview, I was reading about your story. I was watching some videos where you have told your testimony. And my husband had gone to bed. And I went in and I said to him, honey, you have to listen to this. And so I kept him awake past his bedtime. He was loving it with me. And we were just rejoicing. We prayed for you as we went to sleep last night, because your story is such a powerful testimony of the amazing grace of God. Now, when you got out of college, you wanted to find a job, but it wasn't very easy.
No, there wasn't one person that was willing to hire me. I couldn't answer the phone, and they were afraid because I was deaf. I wouldn't understand. I would make mistakes. And I ended up going back to the same hearing and speech clinic that taught me to speak. And I pounded on their doors asking for a job. I know they felt sorry for me. Why? They hired me even without a job. I was like a gopher, a jack of all trades. And I can remember some days of taking paper clips out of one box and sticking them in another closet. That was my job. But God was still writing the chapter of my life. Because there was a friend at that hearing and speech center who in turn had a friend that worked for the federal government, who in turn had a friend that worked for the Department of State, who in turn had a friend that worked for the FBI.
How does the Lord write those stories? That's amazing.
It is.
And they came, and you got the message that there might be a job for you at the FBI.
What I didn't realize is they were looking for deaf people to start a new program to search and classify fingerprints. And as I explain with people, all those funny lines on the fingertips are fingerprints, and no two people have the same. And so they thought if deaf people would come and search the fingerprint, it would be a lot faster and a lot more detailed than having a hearing person do it, which was currently going to happen. You start looking at this print, and you have to count each one of those lines. Well, for a hearing person in the middle of the count, if somebody sneezed, they would look up to see who sneezed, and they would have to start at the beginning of the count again. Or if somebody dropped a book, they would find out what book was dropped. They would have to start again over and over. But there was some bright idea at the FBI that if they hired the deaf people, then people could sneeze, doors could slam, book could drop. They were deaf. They were never here, so they would just keep counting. And that's the way it was. But that wasn't what God made me for. It was the count lines. I'm a people person. I love people. And that's a whole nother session about that. But while I was there counting the line, one day my supervisor came to me and said that they wanted to see me in the front office. And there was only two reasons the person went to the front office, either to be terminated from their job or to be interrogated by the FBI agent. So I went to the front office very slowly that day. And when I walked in, there were nine men waiting for me. And they told me to sit down, and they started asking me the question. And in the end, I came to realize that they had a big problem. They were working on a case in which they video filmed the suspect. But on this particular case, when the camera activated, the sound mechanism failed. So I had all this film with the bad guys talking, but they couldn't hear him. And they wanted to know if I would watch it and write down any words. I said, sure, no problem. From that day on, I never went back to reading fingerprints. I read lips for the FBI. And to sum up my job, I followed the bad guys around. I read their lips, and I told the good guys what the bad guys were saying. And they even paid me to do it, too.
Wow.
And so it was a whole unique job. I became known as the secret weapon for the FBI.
And so here you were having career success, and your life seemed to be going really well, but inside, things were not going well.
All the outward signs were a lie. The happy-go-lucky, cheerful person, I lived the part with society. Inside, I was self-destructive. By the time I'm in college, I realize that I'm not just questioning my parents any longer. I'm basically realizing my parents made a mistake when they told me God never makes mistakes. I was convinced God had made a mistake.
By making
Why?
You deaf.
Because when God created me, He created me with a heart that absolutely loves people. I thrive on people. I love people. And in that same creation that loves people, He allowed the silence to overtake me. Helen Keller said it best, that blindness separates the person from things and objects. Deafness separates a person from people. I am an expert lip reader. I can read your lips one-on-one. I'm even good. I can do two people. And when it's two people, it's like watching tennis being played. They'll talk, they'll stop. They'll talk, they'll stop. They'll talk, they'll talk. I can do it. For every person you add into my mess, I deteriorate. because somebody's going to say something. By the time I find them, they've already said it. They move on to the next. I can't do it. The very thing that I love, the very thing that I want, I can't have.
Because you wanted to be with people.
I wanted to be with people. I wanted to be with people. And you know, when God created me, He created me with a very, very strong spirit. Mm-hmm. And He knew that He had to, that I would endure the path of silence, the rejection, the loneliness. He knew that I had to have the spirit that would endure. And so He blessed me with that spirit. And what I've come to realize, that in the strength of that spirit, if it's used for my will and my desire, it would be for total destruction for anyone around me, including myself. But if that strength is used for the glory of God, He can move mountains. I just had to learn this in my walk with Him, through Him teaching me. But I had to hit the rock bottom before I began to rise.
And so you set out to find God.
I set out to find God. And I ended finding Him at Columbia Bible College and Seminary in Columbia, South Carolina.
But I think you went there for an unusual reason. You wanted to find God to show Him that He made a mistake.
That He made a mistake, yes. Most people go to Bible school to learn the scriptures of the Bible or to be pastors or missionaries. There's all those reasons, okay, of the biblical proportion. My reason was not for any of that. It was for the sole reason of finding Him, to make Him confess that He made a mistake. And He knew that I was coming. Nancy, He was waiting for me, because He didn't just have one person to be my friend. He stuck me with 20 people, 20 people. He knew I couldn't do it. But that's what He had for the army, for me to face.
So that was 20 people in your class, right?
20 people, not just in my class. We forged as a team. Well, we ate meals together. We studied together. We were in class. We sang together. We laughed. I was with those 20 people. I laughed with them. I fainted. Then when I would go back to my apartment, everything within my reach, I totally self-destructed with anger. So many times I had cried out to God, please give me my hearing. And it was always the same answer, the great silence.
Now, when you got to the seminary, you told a friend at school something that wasn't true.
Right.
What did you say?
I found if God wasn't about to change my plight, I took matters into my own hands. And I went to one of my friends of that 20, and I told her a lie. I told her that I had a terminal illness, that I was dying. How could you? Why would you? Because in my perverted thinking, I thought if she believed me, she would want to spend as much time with me, one-on-one. And my thinking was right. That's exactly what happened. But I didn't realize in the split second that I told that lie that it would last for over 7 months. And I had no idea that the first person that I told that lie would fan out to not only the 20 people in my room, but it would go out to the entire school. And surely I had no idea that that lie would totally consume me and destroy me. The school was praying for healing. But we have a God that knows all, that sees all, that hears all. And He knew that I didn't need no physical healing.
So you had told the student, and who told everybody heard, that you were dying of a terminal illness.
I told that one that found it out to the 20. The 20 told, and it was just going out where my advisor at school knew, the professors knew, they knew, they were praying.
Praying that God would heal you.
The school praying, and God answered, not with the physical healing, but with the spiritual healing, where his hand came heavily upon me, where my body was wasting away. My mind became so disoriented, I couldn't take it anymore, that I went to the first person I told that lie to, and I said, please, make a phone call for me. I need to see my advisor as soon as possible, and he needs to have another faculty member with him. That next morning, I met with my advisor. I told the truth that it had all been a lie. Tears streaming down my face. I knew that I would have to go to those 20 different people that told them the truth, and I was ready to do so. But what I didn't know is I would have to stand before the entire academic committee. The night before I was to meet the committee was the longest, darkest, quietest night of my life. The shame was unbearable. I couldn't face them. I got my suitcase out to begin to pack my bags to run away. So as I was packing, my Bible fell on the floor and it fell open. And I reached down and I just picked it up open and I put it on my lap as I sat on my bed and I looked down. And then I looked down again. And I'm in the book of Hosea. And Nancy, at that time in my life, I didn't even know there was a Hosea in the Bible. So I'm looking at Hosea. I'm in the 14th chapter. And I'm starting to read. And I heard God's voice as I read. And it wasn't just his word. He was giving me a promise. Hosea 14, 1 through 8. And I used my name. O Thomas, return to the Lord your God, for you have been crushed by your sins. Take words and come back to me, for my anger will be forever gone. I will love you freely, Thomas. You will blossom like a lily. Your roots will go deeply into the soils of Lebanon. And your people, shall return from exile far away and will rest beneath my shadow. It's been over 30 years since I came to the foot of the cross. And I have seen his promise kept in every way. But the last verse, his anger has been gone for me. I see his love every single day. My foot has not been moved. And you know, when I'm on the road, people often will say, oh, you're so beautiful. And I used to grin, thinking, oh, Lord, this heavy weight for you, this hunk of clay, how can they say that? And then he always had me stop dead in my tracks when he reminds me that he promised me that I would blossom like a lily. And if people could see it, they can see him. Each one of those verses, he has promised. And I have asked that I will live to see the day for the last verse to be fulfilled, that my people shall return from exile far away and will rest beneath the shadow. The promise was so overpowering that I went on the floor, flat face, cried out for him for mercy, and told him that I could not walk the path that he had so chosen, that it was unbearable, that I couldn't do it, that I didn't want to live. But if this is what he had for me, he had to live in me. He had to do it. But that night, in the darkest, I totally surrendered my life to Christ. I totally came to him in my shame.
That's Sue Thomas. She's been telling us about some of the intense challenges she had growing up after losing her hearing at just 18 months of age. She was reading my lips during this interview. But Sue realized that she had a far greater need than her physical hearing. She needed to be forgiven of her sin and connected with God. That need was met through Jesus Christ. Now, I'm sure that the details of your story are different than those of Sue Thomas. But as was the case with Sue, we've all made decisions that we regret that hurt other people. And today, perhaps as Sue has shared in her story, you're ready to put your faith in Jesus Christ to forgive your sin and to give you a new life. We'd like to send you some free information if you'd like to make that exchange and find true freedom in Christ. Give us a call at 1-800-569-5959 and ask for the information about knowing Jesus personally. Again, the number to call is 1-800-569-5959. Now, as we often share, we're able to bring you Revive Our Hearts programs like this one and to send free information to new believers thanks to listeners who believe in this ministry and who support this program with their financial gifts. Only the Lord knows how many deeply discouraged people have tuned into the story of Sue Thomas this week and heard about how they can find true hope. When you support Revive Our Hearts, you become part of sharing that hope in Christ. And when you send a gift of any size this week, we'd like to say thank you by sending you the brand new 2018 Revive Our Hearts wall calendar. The theme of this year's calendar is The Truth That Sets Us Free. And this particular calendar was designed by a young woman who actually grew up as a staff kid in Revive Our Hearts. I've known her since she was a little girl, and what a joy it is to see her developing these amazing artistic gifts and using them to serve the Lord and others as well. So when you get this calendar, each month of the year, you'll be able to turn to a new page and read a quote about God's truth, presented in beautiful calligraphy and watercolor. The only place you can get this wall calendar is from Revive Our Hearts. So call us at 1-800-569-5959. Make a donation of any amount and be sure to ask for the calendar when you do. Again, call us at 1-800-569-5959 or visit us at reviveourhearts.com. And when you go to our website, be sure to watch the video from Sue Thomas in our studio. Again, that address is reviveourhearts.com. After years of struggling to accept her deafness as a gift, Sue Thomas was hit with a second major health challenge. Hear how she reacted when she was diagnosed with MS. That's tomorrow on Revive Our Hearts.
Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Wagglemuth wants to help you thrive, even in tough environments. It's an outreach of Life Action Ministries.